Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, SpaceX, Starship, Fish and Wildlife Services. Bob, all headlines. What can you tell us? Good evening to you.
I can tell you that my prediction in April and May that there would be no launch of Starship before the end of the year is coming true. A lot of people criticized me for that, saying I didn't understand the regulatory process. They didn't understand the regulatory process. The simple fact is that it appears to me, that's my conclusion, that the FAA and the Fish and Wildlife Service, under Biden administration guidance, is slow walking any approvals for SpaceX, because we've now learned that the Fish and Wildlife Service, which now has to approve every launch out of Boca Chica, this is absurd, only decided to begin its formal review of the April launch failure of Super Heavy Starship, only began its review on October 5th. And it specifically says that review has to do with SpaceX's launch system. This has to do with the water deluge system that's supposed to prevent damage to the launch pad. That SpaceX completed installation and testing of in early August. But the Fish and Wildlife Service decided not to begin its own formal review of that launch system until October 5th. And it has legally 135 days from October 5th to issue its report, which means if they use the full 135 days, this launch can't happen earlier than mid-February. Now, they say they're going to take less time than that. They're not going to take the full amount of time. But as John mentioned to me before we started taping, the holidays are coming, so we'll see if that's the case. What we're looking at here is, they will give government agencies could very easily give some justifiable reasons for these delays, arguing this scheduling problem, that information wasn't available, blah, blah, blah. But the president could always cut through this red tape and make things happen quickly, and Biden is very clearly has no interest in doing so. This administration sees Elon Musk as an enemy, and so they're very glad to let the bureaucracy slow walk SpaceX's effort. I just want to conclude that this is a tragedy in multiple ways. It's putting SpaceX to face financial ruin because they need Starship to complete their Starlink constellation or face sanctions from the FCC. And this delays means that NASA's Artemis program to land on the moon faces years of delays because they're dependent on Starship as their lunar lander, and it can't get developed until SpaceX can do some launches. And so the Biden administration, it's decided that political concerns hurting its political enemies is more important than allowing the American people to prosper.
Bob, we need to get on. We need to get on.
Yes, SpaceX, let's go on. That was my conclusion.
SpaceX gets an ESA contract. Good. That's good news.
This is good news. This has to do with the European Space Agency's inability to get its Ariane 6 rocket launched. It right now pretty much does not have a way to launch anything, pretty much, and especially it cannot launch its Galileo GPS satellites. They have their own constellation of GPS-type satellites, and they were launching them on mostly Soyuz rockets and some Ariane 5 rockets. Well, the Ariane 5 is gone, and their deal with Russia is gone because of the Ukraine war. So the result of that is they have no way to get their GPS satellites up on their own power. So they've signed the contract with SpaceX, which is right now the only really good, viable launch company in the world. And so SpaceX gets a contract in Europe, and that's because they produce, they get money, and that's a good sign.
So. The old commercial public was ULA. ULA is now depending on a Vulcan launch by Christmas Eve. What is Vulcan?
Vulcan is their new rocket to replace the Atlas V. Atlas V still has a bunch of launches left, but it's basically retired. It has no more additional rockets, so those launches are all accounted for. Vulcan, however, is to replace it. It's years behind schedule for a multitudinous number of reasons, actually most of which has to do with Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin. But putting that aside, they've now set a Christmas Eve launch date for the first launch. Let's hope it works, because it's going to be carrying Astrobotic's private Peregrine lunar lander, bringing NASA payloads to the moon. And let's hope this mission succeeds, because we'd like to get the lunar lander to the moon. It will be the first launch of Vulcan, though, so there are, of course, uncertainties involved. We have two other stories, John, quickly, of launches being scheduled. Rocket Lab had a launch failure in September of its Electron rocket, upper stage failure, and they have now said that they've gotten approval to do a new launch from the FAA, which means their investigation is improved by this new bureaucracy, and they hope to get a launch up before the end of the year, a new launch, and in fact, they're hoping to do it much sooner than that. And then we also have ABL. This is a new launch startup. It tried to do a launch in January. The launch failed, and their investigation revealed the failure was because their launch mount was too small. They had built the launch mount very small so they could ship it in containers for quick shipment to other locations, launch locations, but they found it was too small. The amount of heat caused a fire in the first stage and caused the failure of the launch. So they've redesigned their launch mount, and they are once again getting ready for their second launch attempt. It'll take place in Kodiak, Alaska. And so we have some launches coming up from both ULA, Axiom, and Rocket Lab, ULA, and ABL, John. That's good news.
Axiom is signing up customers. Axiom looks like it's growing, Bob. Signs up for
jobs. Yes, Axiom, there's two stories from Axiom that are really cool. One is they had already indicated they were going to be doing this months earlier, but they've now signed a deal with the United Kingdom to fly at all British missions. Basically, the UK has only had two astronauts in its history. One was a tourist back in the 80s, sent up on a Russian spacecraft, and the other was a guy named Tim Peake, who went to ISS for 6 months. Well, Tim Peake has come out of retirement to command this mission. It'll be all British crew. It has to go up on a Dragon capsule by SpaceX on a Falcon 9. But Axiom is the provider. It's making the deal, and it signed a deal. Getting about 200 pounds from the United Kingdom to fly their astronauts into space. Good news. And the second story from Axiom is that they're building a space station that will be initially attached to ISS. Well, the hull of the first space station module is nearing completion. It's being built by a company in Europe, Thales Alenia, and it's getting ready, almost completed. Once the hull is completed, it will be shipped back to the U.S., where Axiom will then finish construction and be able to launch it. They're aiming for a launch in 20.
Bob, we have to watch Axiom. They're growing.
Oh, yes. Axiom is going big. And they're doing flights. They're building their station. That station will eventually be independent. So, yes, they're the big story in terms of space station futures. There are others, but they're the ones.
Boeing is big, and its Starliner was important, but Boeing is now slipping into. Bob, this is a sad story of a great company that's. We don't know why, but they're no longer delivering, and they're not even delivering Air Force One.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. They announced that they're going to have to take a $500 million hit on the fixed price contract that they have to create the Air Force One airplanes for the president. They got a new contract to do this fixed price during the Trump administration for $3.9 billion to provide the Air Force Ones for the president. And it appears that they've gone overpriced. They used to cost-plus contracts where they have unlimited money, and they don't have that here, and so they're going to have to take a loss from that. And the result is that in the first quarter in this recent quarterly report, not the first quarter, they are announcing almost $1 billion in losses in that one quarter alone. Boeing, this is like, why do they need $4 billion to provide Air Force One a few planes to the government? It seems absurd. That shouldn't cost that much money to refit the interior of Air Force One. And then to go over budget by $500 million. Yeah, this is a very sad story. Boeing is not the company it once was, John.
Australian rocket launches. Why do they have to have a deal with the U.S.? What is this?
This has to do with what we call ITAR regulations. These are State Department regulations that make it very, very difficult to send any American satellites for launch in other countries. And similarly, it makes it very difficult for American launch companies to launch from other spaceports in other countries. And so Australia and the U.S., this is the Biden administration agreement, have signed a framework agreement which will allow American rockets to launch out of Australian spaceports, even though that's sensitive technology, and will also allow satellites to be put on Australian launch startups in Australia. And so this is a good thing for Australia, or it's a good thing for American companies, because they have an alternative place to launch in Australia. It doesn't get the American companies outside the oppressive regulatory framework of American licensing, but at least allows them to launch from a different location.
Forgive me, Bob.
Australia benefits entirely.
I don't care about the China and Russia stories. I want to go back to a story we had before. Was it Varda who needed permission to land a capsule in the U.S.? It was denied that permission. Now, it occurs to me that Varda could have landed in Australia the way that...
They haven't signed a deal to do so.
I understand, but now the U.S. is reaching out to regulate Australia, so perhaps they wouldn't even have been able to do what Hayabusa 1 did, land in Australia.
That's interesting, but the American regulatory framework here has nothing to do with landing a capsule. It only has to do with sensitive technology being put in a different land. And the capsule is not the same kind of sensitive technology that Varda's got. Nonetheless, it's the same story. It's showing that regulatory restrictions are impacting private enterprise significantly. That's still the case.
Remember what really terrifies people. Somebody knocks at the door, you open it, and it says, I'm your government, I'm here to help. SpaceX did not game out regulation. It's moving fast, it's breaking things, but this is about government. And there's plenty of information about how government works. You can't claim ignorance. I remember early, Bob, Microsoft had like 3 or 4 lobbyists in Washington. This is back in the 20th century. They were laughed at. What are you kidding? 3 or 4 lobbyists? You need 300 or 400. Now, SpaceX needs to learn that game, too. It's just the way the federal government works. It's not a mystery. It goes slow. It needs to have motives. And you need to connect with it all the time, every day on lunch. So I will say to Mr. Musk, hire your lobbying firms. Start now.
The only caveat, I agree with you 100%, John. The only caveat I put to this is that we are witnessing a significant difference in between administrations here. You have to be aware of the administration that's in power. And when the Biden administration took over, SpaceX should have immediately recognized that things are not going to be golden sunrises and rainbows as it was during Trump.
But you're never as good as you look when you win a baseball game, and you're never as bad as you look when you lose a baseball game.
Absolutely.
It
right.
doesn't matter who the president is. Be prepared. We're going to move on to exploration. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.